Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, wildlife conservation has always relied heavily on international funding, with organizations like the Endangered Wildlife Trust depending on grants from global agencies. But with the United States now freezing foreign funding through institutions like USAID and the US Fish and Wildlife Service, conservation efforts in Africa are potentially facing an uncertain future. While much has been said about the impact on healthcare, the conservation sector has been left scrambling for alternative funding sources. So how do we ensure that species protection, anti-poaching operations, and habitat restoration efforts continue? And are there innovative financing mechanisms that can help bridge the funding gap? I'm joined now by Kish Chetty, Executive Head of Sustainability at EWT, the Endangered Wildlife Trust. Kish, so the US funding freeze, and thank you very much for joining us, has hit conservation efforts hard. What has been the immediate fallout for organizations like yours?
Thank you, Jeremy, and thank you for having me on your show, and good day to you and your listeners. So, Jeremy, I think the immediate fallout has been, without this funding, there's been certain critical conservation initiatives which are at risk. They include species protection, habitat restoration, community safeguarding, and some of our work around policy. So it has led to job losses. Certain critical research in the conservation sector has slowed. We've had disruption to some of the key conservation action plans, not just within South Africa, but across the borders. And it, as you indicated, has weakened our anti-poaching efforts and increased human wildlife conflict. So it has been quite tremendous. And I think one of the things to better understand it is that a lot of the conservation funding that comes into South Africa is funded by international entities. So whether it's the United States, the European Union, private foundations, or multilateral institutions, we do get a lot of funding, and it does provide the impetus for us to actually drive conservation in South Africa.
So are there immediately conservation programs or even species that face the greatest risk if you don't find alternative funding?
So from a species perspective, I know that some of the funding that we had lined up was dedicated towards vulture conservation, and also our canine scent detection unit, which actively deals in anti-poaching efforts. And I think anything involved in the anti-poaching space and wildlife trade is certainly at risk. And certainly from a threatened species perspective, conservation efforts and action around vultures could face significant risk in the days ahead.
Kish, as upsetting as this is, it also says a lot about the fragility of conservation funding models that rely so heavily on international donors.
Absolutely. And I think where this has been upsetting, it's also created an opportunity. So the opportunity lies in mobilizing local investment and potentially starting to build a better business case for biodiversity and conservation with the private sector, which will hopefully lead towards building stronger regional partnerships and potentially exploring the opportunities around sustainable finance solutions.
So how do you make a case for local investment given there are so many competing priorities?
It's a very good question. I think the key is, as a conservationist and as the conservation sector, we need to start showing return on investment. I think that's a critical component in being able to bring the private sector into the conversation. And if we can do that, then we've got a better chance in diversifying our funds towards achieving the conservation action we need on the ground.
So within the space of conservation, what does return on investment mean, and how would you go about demonstrating it?
So I think with regards to return on investment, we actually need to better understand the business case. So as an example, within Africa, a lot of our conservation is, or a lot of our ecotourism is dependent on conservation. And I think we need to build a better business case around what are some of the values that conservation does allow for in the context of business. So is there an opportunity to bring in funding? Does it improve corporate image? Does it have an influence around communities? Does it allow for sustainable business practices into the future? Does it align to compliance? And I think these are some of the pillars that we need to start looking at to drive conservation and produce this measurable, tangible outcome in relation to return on investment.
And have organizations like EWT started that process already? And if so, what sort of response are you getting?
So, absolutely. I think the response has been really positive. We've been working with a lot of the large listed companies in South Africa around One, capacitating them to better understand the opportunities around biodiversity in business, but two, to better understand the return on investment so that they as an organization can start to put forward what the value add is of biodiversity to their business. And we've definitely seen a lot of traction, but there's loads more work to do in this space. And certainly if we want to bring the private sector into the conversation around conservation, we have to start driving this return on investment process.
And in many ways, you're also dealing with optics here, because I'd suggest to you that for any big organization to be involved in wildlife is a nice to have, but not necessarily seen as critical.
So I think optics is absolutely key. And I think, as you suggested, you know, most businesses see it that way. And most people who sit on an executive or on a board level might see it that way. And it's up to us as organizations to start to build the right type of language around conservation and why conservation is absolutely critical towards businesses and their value chains to ensure long-term sustainability. And I think that's something that, as a conservation entity, we need to start doing a lot better in that space.
You've also spoken about your future fit strategy, and you're looking at things like biodiversity credits, wildlife bonds, and even carbon markets that are explored as alternative funding models. How viable are these solutions in Africa, though?
So viability is quite a broad word. I think it is viable, Jeremy. And what we need to do now is, as a collective across the African continent, start to pilot a number of projects where we can actually showcase proper return on investment. And I'm not just talking about return on investment from a finance sense. I also want to see tangible conservation outcomes on the ground. So there are opportunities to implement that and integrate it in the African context, but we need more case studies, we need more pilot projects, and we need to start bringing in key investors into driving these particular outcomes to ensure long-term sustainability of conservation.
And Kish, early days here, just in terms of funding, but is there general unanimity within the wildlife community to work together as far as this is concerned? Previously, I would suggest, and correct me if I'm wrong, all of you are competing with each other to an extent to get a very small slice of that funding pie.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, historically, NGOs have, in some respects, been quite competitive, and there is a small piece of the pie available. But in order for us to achieve global and national outcomes, collaboration is absolutely key. And collaboration will also enable us to start to scale up our efforts. So I think there's been a lot of discussions in South Africa, certainly, and across the African continent about NGOs starting to collaborate and work towards the greater goals. And that means bringing in resources, not just funding, but bringing in resources and skill sets to achieve these greater goals at scale. And I'm certainly seeing that work out at the moment.
Well, that is good news. I'm going to leave it there. Kish Chetty, thank you very much indeed. Executive Head of Sustainability at the Endangered Wildlife Trust. I do appreciate your time.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.